This is the Lean Into Art Cast. Whether it's illustration, cartooning, UI design, or presenting, it all comes down to telling your story, communicating your ideas. It takes a lot of effort and curiosity, but let's lean into it.
Recording on my end.
And recording.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Jersey.
How'd that Ann Arbor Comics Artist Forum treat you?
They treated me quite well.
How awesome was that?
Caviar was delicious.
I mean, how awesome was that you basically got to do a workshop in Michigan, like an artist visit at a library, and you didn't even have to leave the studio? Welcome to the 21st century.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was Star Trekking across the universe. No doubt.
That's the only way it could have been better, is if we could have literally beamed you in. But at least
sure, it would be cooler if I were actually flying through the galaxies. Then, sure, that would be more awesome. But from the comfort of my home office, yeah. And what's funny is it's still on my whiteboard.
Oh, yeah, the logo that you did for the workshop. Yeah. Or presentation. Right,
which this isn't a video episode of our podcast, but yeah, which we do that every other time. But no, it was a lot of fun. I it was an honor to be asked. And as my understanding, I guess I was the first.
You were our pilot program. So like, for those who don't know what we're talking about, every the first Sunday of every month for 9 months out of the year, the Ann Arbor District Library holds the Ann Arbor Comics Artist Forum, which is a free 2-hour event where we just bring in we bring in a guest speaker, and we have like about an hour of socializing, open drawing time. And we get a really interesting mix of people, ranging from like 9-year-olds to, you know, 60-year-olds, ranging from professional cartoonists like Michelangelo Cicerone was there this time, aspirant professionals, but then also hobbyists. And it's a really, really cool mix of people. And it's free. That's another cool thing. And so I as the guy who spearheaded this thing, I serve as the advisor. So I'm always present whenever I can be. And I try not to schedule anything else during forum events. But so we've been having all these local cartoonists come in, and so I approached AADL and said, like, hey, why don't we every once in a while try to bring in a Skype guest? And they've got this cool conference room, which looks like the United Nations room, with this giant screen where they project. They hold unconferences in there sometimes, like where they'll actually beam in some Skype people to do presentations and whatnot. So I said, well, let's do that for the Comics Artists Forum. So you were our first one. We have other Skype guests lined up, but yeah, you were our test flight of this idea of bringing in a guest speaker. And then afterwards, we took you off the big screen, left you on a little Skype monitor, and people could just talk to you individually and come up and ask you questions.
Yeah, it was fun. I went from big screen to kiosk mode. And I hung out like a head from Futurama, just chatting it up.
But it was cool. You led one of your Lean Into Art classes for us, like a truncated version.
Yeah, it was... let's see, writing and drawing serial comics, the dramatic reveal.
Was that one of the labs you did?
It was actually a lab, yeah. Technically. It, I mean, a lot of the labs were sort of, we had mini topics, we called them, that were, you know, these actually presentations. Maybe they had already grown into full workshops by that point, maybe not, but they were experimental in nature. And so this was like the second version of that. So it's been a little more refined than the, or evolved. I don't know. It was a lot of fun because then again, part of what really extended in a good way the Lean Into Art 30 classes version was you and I chatted quite a bit. And I recall you brought in some visual examples. So we were sort of editing and inventing that version of it as we went.
Yeah.
Dealing with like, well, how could you slow down or speed up? Deal with the adjusting the tempo of the story is one of the later on. And you brought in this incredibly detailed image.
Oh, yeah. That was when I brought in like the Jeff Darrow piece to show a guy who like really fills up a scene with lots of visual information versus somebody who does, more Spartan illustrations, right? How that changes the pacing of the sequence. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it was a good example. It was a very, very striking image, very cool. Like, what was it, a robot
fighting. It was Spawn fighting like a giant robot.
Yeah,
it was like a pinup by Jeff Darrow from like the 90s. Yeah, you could spend hours staring at his pages because it's
oh my
it's,
god. I mean, you could retire on that. I bet that could be like if that were made into a puzzle, that could be your retirement because it's so detailed.
Yeah. But anyway, well, I'm cool. I'm cool. Yeah. I'm glad that you had a good time. I think I was simultaneously thinking I'm glad and it's cool that you had a good time.
And you're cool that I had a good time. I mean, thank you for bringing me there.
Listen to me, so like Yakov Smirnoff or Belky Bartokomas.
America. No, it was neat. I appreciated being brought in, and I had a lot of fun. It was good. A lot of fun questions from the group. I can tell you have a pretty awesome community.
I was really grateful for that insight that you were providing before we started recording, where you were talking about how it felt. Because that's another thing that, you know, we don't get a whole lot of people coming from outside the state to witness what the comics community in Ann Arbor feels like.
Sure.
So that was really good information to get from you about like how. Because like I do my best to describe that to people, but you know, you don't know if that's spin because I'm the advisor to the thing. So of course I want to play it up to be like, oh, it's a really positive and you know, friendly environment here, and there's no one-upsmanship, there's no cliques going on. Everybody's on a level playing field no matter what your level of experience is, and everybody's just there to express their excitement and interest in this subject.
Yeah.
But you actually had to see that, so that was cool.
Yeah, and it's real. It's a really good open really nice community where everyone was sort of different ages and skill levels asking questions, and you could tell, and they were all so focused on their work too as they were going along, which I love that, like the whole if someone's doodling, that's neat. I dig that because chances are their hand is like moving like a needle on a record, partially based on what I'm causing in the environment. Mm-hmm. It's not direct, but
there's a 9-year-old boy there who was doing the comics as he was making comics based on what you were talking about.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. Part of your presentation was about take three characters and have them go through a sequence one way and then go through the sequence another way. And yep. he had a couple comic strips actually made on a scrap piece of paper where here was version one, here was version two with his own characters instead of the
that
ones.
Is awesome. So yeah. And so that was really really cool to hang out with you guys.
Cool. I'm glad. And I'm as I said, I'm just glad about that what I perceive as the community there, it is true. It's ringing true to other people, and it's not just something where I'm looking at it through like, you know, a parent's eyes, you know, where it's like the kid's a serial killer, but I'm like, oh, but it's my baby, you know.
Yikes. I was thinking, you know, if I somehow knew like a cheerleader cheer, like spelling spirit or something, I'd be doing it right now. But, you know?
Well, no, like, yeah, like one of the things that happened was while you were sort of being in kiosk mode, one of the things that I feel really serious about like protecting in that forum is the open socializing hour, because that's a chance for people who don't know how to do this stuff all that well yet. They can benefit from the experiences of the people there who do have more experience, right?
And so, interesting. So you have sort of a flow to the event.
There is a flow, yeah. So like there's like a 40 minutes to an hour period of presentation time, and then there's another hour on the back end just for pure socializing drawing time. So like if you just came just to get some drawing done around some cartoonists, cool, sit there and draw. But if you are there also to just like fraternize, you get to do that too. Or preferably, like what I hope will happen is that people come up and say, hey, I see your sketchbook. I see you're really good at this. I have trouble with this. Can you help me out? And that happens at this thing all the time where, you know, you have a 20-year-old girl sitting next to a 16-year-old girl in a non-competitive way talking about what cartoonists they like the best. And then this older woman comes over and says, hey, I have trouble drawing this specific thing. You guys know how to do that? And not only did they all sit down and start sketching together to say, like, oh, this is how I do it, and this is how I do it. But then, like, the 20-year-old opens up her laptop and is like, and here's a great site for, like, face resources, you know, like, and she's writing down the email or the web address for her and everything.
Super cool.
At no point did anybody go, who the hell are you and why are you asking?
Yeah, exactly. Or the ever awesome completely ignore you.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it should, we should note this. I mean, this isn't to bash anybody, but this stuff happens at as different communities get built. I'll use one of my own personal experiences, and I'll name names on this one because one, the organization doesn't exist anymore. Two, I know none of the guys are listening. And three, I think it was a terrible experience that should be relayed to the public to say, warning, watch out for this crap, because this does happen and it infuriates me and it doesn't help anybody. So if you see something like this happening, run like hell and don't look back, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. College organization. It was on the campus of Central Michigan University when I would just graduated high school, and it had funding from the college. They had a budget to use to put towards what I thought was going to be a comics making endeavor. When I came to the meetings and started to get kind of involved with the group, they said, we're going to make an anthology. Everybody's going to do their own story, and we're going to package it up. We're going to get a book printed. We're going to take it to the Motor City Comic Con, and we'll try to sell it to keep more money coming into the coffers so we can start a publishing venture through the college.
Sure. That's the whole experience, right? Making a story, putting it in a book, and getting it out to the public somehow.
And we'll meet monthly so that we can draw together and give each other help and tips and insights and help boost each other along on this thing.
Okay. Supportive creative collaborators.
Yep. And we could even team up on some projects, maybe. Who knows?
Well,
sounds great, right? To my 18-year-old ears, this was music. I was like, oh man, I can't believe it! Right in my own hometown, I get to find this thing. This is great. And after a couple meetings, I realized that there was politics. It's like 12 guys in this group, and there's politics, really. One of the guys, he clearly had some emotional issues, and somehow he became president of the organization. And he was prone to tantrums where he would verbally attack different people in the group. And he walked up to me one day and said, your stuff is utterly derivative. You're going to get sued. Keith Giffen's going to sue you because you're trying to draw like him. And even as an 18-year-old, I knew that, you know, no, he's not. You get to do this. You get to be influenced by people.
I'm sorry for laughing earlier. I didn't realize. I mean,
he's
got personality problems. So naturally he became president.
Yeah,
funny.
Really.
But
I don't know
so
how
he's like a bit of an alpha.
He was a bit of an creature? Emotional bully. He was a bully, and he liked to, you know, he, as always with these kind of things, he couldn't justify his position with any kind of achievements in the arts. Right. Let me put it that way. Right. When you looked at his work, you said, well, why is this guy president again? Not that the president should be the best artist, but he clearly didn't have any kind of skills in facilitating anything. He was not a good leader. And on top of it, he wasn't even an accomplished artist. So this was somebody who was just good at shouting and throwing a tantrum until people went along with him.
No.
And then the rest of the group were such a bunch of lily livered wieners that they didn't take him down. You know, it's like, okay, well, this guy's a problem. Well, these guys clearly like being bullied, or they respond really well to being bullied. So I just left the group. The final straw was there was a big sort of like coup where different people were like, well, we're gonna form a coalition to take this guy down. I'm like, you do know we're only 12 guys, right? And it turned into this big fight, and then there's crying, literal crying with 25-year-old men. And then it ended with, well, I'll tell you what.
I'm sorry again.
And it culminated with, okay. Well,
I'm sorry for laughing again.
No, this sounds really funny, so
painful and so awkward.
And then in the end, they said, well, let's make everybody feel better. Instead of using this money to print the book, we'll have a pizza party. We'll use the money to fund a pizza party where we all dress up as superheroes.
Yeah.
So it was a bunch of emotionally stunted guys. Granted, they were all in their early 20s. A lot of people in their early 20s are going through a lot of stuff, you know, as I was too. But what I came to the thing for was I want to get access to expertise. I want to get access to learning. And I want to get access to a group that has an agenda to accomplish. We've got an explicit mission. We want to accomplish this mission. And it wasn't that. It was a treehouse for guys who like to make comics or like to read comics mostly. Right. And then when anybody came in who demonstrated any kind of skill, they became the cool kids. And there was this attitude of cliquishness of, well, we're all going to have like a special hangout afterwards for only the cool kids. Anybody who we don't designate as the cool kid, you don't get to come to the thing. this whole environment was poisonous, and it doesn't help comics. It doesn't help art. It doesn't help anybody. All it does is it perpetuates high school politics. And really, that's high school is the time where we get that all out of our systems, and then we can act like normal grown-ups afterwards, presumably.
Oh, yeah, hopefully.
So anyway, this long thing was just to say that people ask me from time to time, like, how do you start building a community? How do you start building a scene? And I'm not going to say that I've built any kind of scene. I've contributed to a lot of people. I've done my little bit to help a lot of people, you know, in their way form a scene. One of the things you do is you have to do your part to engender a positive attitude into it in order for it to grow into something that's healthy, you know, where people want to come back again and again and again.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's bad to say, God, so many things get such a bad rap that really inherently aren't bad.
Like what?
So the idea that if you put yourself out there saying, I would like to be a catalyst for some like-minded people to hang out and do something constructive with comics, right? Mm-hmm. That's not so bad. Yeah. So it... But I don't know. Yeah, forming a community, it just sounds so, let's see, it sounds very traditionally top-down focused, hierarchical, saying, yes, it's me. I formed this land and I tamed the wilderness and now come live here.
Come live in Jersey Town. Yeah.
Under my rule.
Yeah.
Which is the assumption, which obviously if you leave out the under my rule thing and just saying, hey, I got rid of some of that stuff because it was dangerous. It was in my way. I figured it'd be in your way too. Just trying to be helpful. You know, you don't owe me anything. I chose to do this and you know, whatever. I don't know. There's different ways to do it.
No, you know, you're right. You're right. That's a good thing to underline is that this isn't, see the experience that I'm describing from that college group was there was this little tyrant. There was this little tyrant who said, I'm in charge. I'm going to verbally attack some of you guys to remind you who's in charge here. We're going to put this to a vote, but I'm going to throw a tantrum if it doesn't go in the way I want it to go. We're going to have
a vote ceremony.
Yeah,
Oh, my.
And it really was like a round table kind of experience with him sitting at a podium. Like that it had that aspect to it, you know? So everything, all decisions and all discussions were facilitated through this one guy. Now, here's how it is at the Comics Artist Forum at AADL is Sharon Iverson and I do a couple announcements. We say, oh, here's some stuff that's coming up. We got some open Photoshop lab time next week, and this is what it's going to feel like. And if you want to come, you should come because it's free and all that stuff. And this is what's coming up next week. Here's a couple things in the calendar. And now, Jersey's going to introduce Rob, our guest speaker, and he's going to give you a few bullet points on why you should care about this guy being here and why you should be excited about what he's going to present. And then it's handed over to Rob. And then when it goes into open drawing time, I do one more round of announcements saying, okay, well, I'm putting Rob over here on this little screen. You can talk to him if you want to. But now it's just time to just, you know, mill about and work on some stuff and talk with people.
Yep.
And then I leave my spot and I go around and I visit with everybody who came. And I just say like, oh, man, thanks for coming so much. What are you working on? I just check in with everybody and I make sure that I communicate to them that I am so glad that they came to this thing. And then I talk with them for 5 minutes. And then I usually wind up getting harassed by all the young people to come look at the thing that they drew. Like I get dragged around the room like, oh, look at this thing I drew. Look at this thing. And then I talk with them about it.
So clearly you learned your leadership skills from the tyrant man.
Yeah. Yeah. I sat up at the podium with the gavel and said, shut up and listen to me. No, I go around and I tell everybody how glad I am that they are contributing to this scene. And I express a sincere interest in what they're doing. What's the latest thing that they've got? Or what's the latest thing they're wondering about? Not so that I can teach them something, but just so that I can converse with them about it and socialize with them. And now I don't have to do, after doing this for, I think we're in our second year of doing the forum, I don't have to do that so much because now all these people know each other. So their own little groups are forming, not cliques, because I can walk up to that group and just say, hey, what's going on over here? And everybody's cool with it.
Right.
But there's friendships forming and there's relationships forming. And so now I don't need to be, when I go around and thank everybody for coming, it's me acting as the social lubricant. I'm there to say, okay, let's get you guys talking to each other. Hey, Gail, have you met this guy over here? He does this, right?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, they're just, I guess one is we talked about anti-guru stuff.
Yeah.
Last episode. Maybe there's a let's see, I'm trying to remember where I read this, but where people, you're exposed to leadership, obviously, through, you know, your parents or older siblings or different people that you encounter as you grow up that are older than you or what have you. But then, I mean, and then obviously at your first job, right? And gosh, I'm trying to recall where I read this, but somewhere in the 90s, reading different, like, well, how do you organize teams? How do, you know, yes, I went through books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just trying to think, well, how does this work and how do you do it better? And how do I get better at it? What have you? And why, you know, what about just asking people how it's going is, you know, what about that's better than just trying to say, well, I need to do this and walking away or, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I think they form the same function. They help, you're helping organize a group, but they're just different styles of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even have a conclusion for this other than it isn't bad to try to be leading something.
No, it's not. It's not. And it's not egotistical, I don't think, because what you're doing it, you're literally doing it for the group, right? Yeah. We've all been to that mixer where the boys all stand on one side and the girls all stand on the other side, right? That's a classic image of somebody needs to break the ice here. Somebody needs to get things going so people start interacting. I went to some comics events. This is years before I started the Comics Artist Forum or instigated. I asked people if they wanted it. They said yes, and then I took steps to make it happen. We'll put it that way to take the ego out of it. Where I went to a comics event, and the person who organized it, they clearly were uncomfortable in this group because there was a lot of strangers there. They didn't know how to instigate conversations, so they kind of stuck with the group people they knew. A perfectly natural human response. I am comfortable around these people. There's all these strangers here. I'm going to talk to the people I'm comfortable with. I'll tell you how they came across, though. It came across as, I'm not interested in talking to you. I'm turning my cold shoulder to you, and I'm going to talk to the cool people. Whether or not they meant to do that, there was an essence of clickiness, and I'm going to assume the positive in that they were just uncomfortable, and they didn't know how to instigate conversation and to make everybody feel welcome there.
Right.
But that was something that I internalized and said, not on my watch. That is not happening at any comics event that my name is associated with. So when people come to my thing, I'm going to walk up to them and go, hey, you know, and I literally do that almost to some people's discomfort. But I make sure that they understand that you are here. I'm glad that you're here. And here's three people that you don't know, but I know there's a connection between you and them in some way. That you guys got something to talk about. And I'm going to get the conversation going between the two of you. And then as soon as I see that it's got a rhythm to it, I'm going to back off and let you guys be friends.
Because there is sort of a group healthiness, a group dynamic, a group like the gathering of people formed a thing, and is that thing functioning or not? Yeah. And then you can kind of help out, and it's not like you're directing people or anything, but you can ask interesting questions and cause a shared moment to occur, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Yeah.
And things could grow out of that.
Right. And that's where physical socializing becomes superior to internet socializing, because it's a lot harder to do that with an email. Like, hey, here's an email, and I'm emailing you two people. You guys got a lot to talk about. Get going. You know, that's tougher to do. It's tougher to do in online forums or in social media to get that kind of conversation going, because there's so much nuance and subtle things that, like, they don't know your sense of humor yet. Even in person, you run that risk, right? But at the very least, if you've got, like, in a physical environment, when you have sort of what Dan Mishkin calls an impresario, who's there to sort of, like, get the party going kind of thing.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up as a special thing to underline, is that it's not about being the Pope of Chilitown. It's about getting a movement started and just sacrificing yourself to the extent that I'm going to have to work really hard to, like, get the conversations going in this room. And so then that way, eventually, like, there was a Comics Artist Forum several months back where I actually got to draw for the first time. Okay. And I was like, oh, is this what it feels like to be here?
So, you had to try the other role.
Yeah.
Being in a facilitator role, it's a different experience where I think you're getting something out of it as well, because you get to, help accomplish something at that group level And there's different skills, different listening or an observation and things to respond to and instigate. And yeah, there's different things you get to practice, basically. Mm-hmm. Even if you have the motivation to do it, where you're like, yeah, I wish everyone was interacting a little more. Because, hey, I think these folks know these folks and those folks know those folks, but they're not quite making this feel like a gathering yet. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, you observed it. Now what are you going to do about it? And I don't know. You get to practice that. I think that's a pretty huge benefit to a reason for folks like listening to this, where if you thought about doing that, there's a lot you can get out of being that facilitator.
You know what? We had another topic slated for this episode, but we're 25 minutes in already. And I just want to keep going on this because I think there's like a lot of layers to this to peel off.
What? This is our method for creating podcasts. Yeah. We just go. and then part of going is to plant a flag in the ground and say, we're gonna land on that flag, and totally not landing on that flag.
This is the plight of being a creative person. It's like, I got to go to the store to get onions, and then I come home with a hammer. Why do you have a hammer? I don't know. I was thinking about hammers.
Exactly. Well, I know we have to build the deck.
But you know what? Here's another thing. Is like some people say, like when you were going at this idea of like some people are going to perceive, or you heard me kind of using language to back off of the notion of my role as a leader in the Comics Artist Forum.
Right? Sure. I am a professional disqualifier and qualifier by nature. So when you do it, then I'm like, he's qualifying. I'm good.
And Sharon Iverson, when she was on, she did an episode of Comics Are Great with me, which actually anybody who's really interested in an in-depth discussion of how to get a community event started in your neck of the woods, I encourage you to listen to that, because Sharon has a lot of great insights from a librarian's perspective of what they are hoping to hear from a community organizer if you want to start something up at your library. And what better place to start something up, because they have free facilities. And they're interested in having people come through those doors, like aggressively interested in that. So that's
frankly, this is high on my list. And yeah. just as a project, I have not gotten around to really reaching out enough, done some reaching out to my local community. But like, it's I've seen how the Ann Arbor community functions with the library system and whatnot. It seems pretty amazing. And yeah, I'd like to connect to that locally, because, hey, I live in Minneapolis and that's a long way away. So,
well, I don't buy the argument, well, that's all well and good for you because you're in Ann Arbor. There's a lot of cool towns in this nation, you know.
Absolutely. So I guess this is a little bit of a, hooray for Ann Arbor episode. However, exactly. You can replicate that elsewhere.
But where I was going with that is that even Sharon said, you know, like, well, not every community has a Jersey Drozd in it, because you kind of came in here and took the library by storm. Like, you would not give up on starting something, because we talked about how it had a lot of bumpy starts. The first year, it was tough getting people to show up to the things. And then when they showed up, they didn't even know what to expect, because this was new. And who is this guy who's jumping around the room like an idiot? So now, after a couple of years, I've got their trust. But Sharon pointed to the fact that, like, I didn't give up. That was the part of the secret sauce, and I immediately backed up and said, this was a confluence of things. This was the library. This was the people in this town. This was, you know. So I don't want anybody to overstress my importance in the thing, but
right.
Okay, but now building on that, and you called me out and as a qualifier, is this not what every creative person is trying to do when they're forming an online identity? Is this not what you're trying to do when you form a website and say, please come to my website? You are trying to be a community organizer of some sort.
Oh, and definitely.
These skill sets are directly applicable to this. And anybody who cries foul and says that's egotism at work, well, then shut down your website. Shut your website off right now, because having a website itself is, by that definition, a form of egotism.
Shut it down. Pull over.
Don't wait for SOPA to do it. Just shut it down yourself.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, so this kind of sense of building a community around your thing is making the people feel like you care that they're there. And I've heard this said before. I forget who said it, but like, you know, turning on comments on your site and going, okay, come on, community, start interacting. That's you have to look at that as being like an additional job that you have to do. That's an additional thing you have to attend to. And just like you compare it to, let's say if I start up the Ann Arbor Comics Artist Forum, people come and I just sat in the back of the room and said, all right, they're here. Go ahead, talk, everybody. Just talk.
Oh, you know? Yeah, exactly. You don't pile ingredients on the counter to make a cake either.
Right.
Right. I mean, all the elements being present is only part of it. There, you have to add the effort and the mixing and something. And people, not that people are inert ingredients, but and we can overcome habit. But yeah, you have habit and familiarity. I mean, it could be or unfamiliarity. It's like, gosh, I don't know anybody here. Right. Whether that's a gathering of cartoonists at a drink and draw or a local comic event where you're doing presenting or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's something about how, I mean, maybe some of it too is like a lot of what we do is, I think most of us are fairly solitary when we're working on it. Even if you're sitting next to other people, are you really that social while you're making significant creative works? I know, probably not. So you practice that day in, day out, then you go to a big social event or whatever, or you're forming a website, which you're trying to cause a social event. I mean, it's similar things. And so how are you going to find, you know, so you're no longer a person even just sitting there and attending, right? Unless you're looking at the internet as a whole where, okay, I showed up.
Yeah. I showed up. Where's my audience?
Yeah. There's no one playing that role for you really on the internet. So you got to do it for yourself.
Oh man. We were just talking about this before we started recording too, about, I was kind of sharing some of my anxiety that I've been having lately about my comics publishing, like the stuff I want to do this year. And we don't have to go into it in any kind of detail. I just wanted to like use it, how my anxiety that I was spelling out for you led you to say that one of the hardest parts for a lot of us in this comics gig is being the whole hip hip hooray for my work guy. And cheering for yourself and being that unapologetic self-promoter.
It's hard to genuinely caring about yourself and then expressing that to others. It definitely feels a bit weird. but I don't see any other way around it though, because who's going to play that role for you if you're not there reaching out to your community with clarity and being kind and genuine or whatever your style is, right?
Whatever your style is. Yeah, we should emphasize that too.
I mean, you could, swear like a sailor
there was a comics fest, or not a, it was a festival every summer in Phoenix, Arizona. I forget what it's called. If we have any listeners in Phoenix, they'll remind me. But Alice Cooper is one of the main sponsors, and Todd McFarlane is another one of the main sponsors. And some comic store in town that I think does a lot of work with Todd McFarlane somehow. They're associated like deeply with him in some way because he's a local guy. Okay. They come out and promote at this event, and they like get involved. And, like, there's like a street parade or something, and it's all like demon clowns, you know?
Spawn.
Yeah. Now, anybody who's listened to anything that I've ever done is going to know that in the presence of demon clowns, I'm not going to be in my wheelhouse. I'm not going to be going like, all right, this is great. I want to go up and talk to those demon clowns, you know? But that is their mode of expression. That is the thing they choose to celebrate. That's their style. And I didn't go, demon clowns, thumbs down, bleh, dumb. This community sucks and they're not communicating anything. It was still a celebration, right? So yeah, I think that thing should be underlined as like, even if you use a little bit more salty language than I do, that doesn't take away your sense of genuine sincerity and enthusiasm.
Heck, or just different topic and focus and love for it. Just being yourself and being totally okay with it. Which is tough because I think a lot of us probably are driven to do the creative pursuit where we're making our, I don't know, different emotional quirks and whatnot, strengths and weaknesses and clarities and cloudiness, how we see the world. And we're encoding it in some kind of art form and then hopefully sharing it. That's the trick then. If you don't share it, what are you then doing? I guess it was therapeutic to make it, but do you want to do this as a service? Do you want to, you know, go beyond, okay, you put it on paper?
Well, and some people are going to argue that that's all they want.
Sure. Well, I've encountered that actually. And it was wild too, where this, this guy that actually, I probably shouldn't call him out. But I met him at the Up Fair though. I'll say that. Really talented artist, had, I would say, a stack of 100 episodes of a comic. Very well drawn, funny and heartwarming and silly and whatever. I'm like, why in the world is this not on the internet? And he had many reasons. And I realized as I was inquiring, I mean, there's more tension as he provided his explanation as far as why he wasn't doing it. So I didn't mean to be disrespectful, right? Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, it's hard. I get that it's hard. I really get that it's hard. But at some point, you are creating it. And obviously, it's worth considering that step of you know, going. But the good news, bad news is once you do cross that threshold, well, oops, there's more uncomfortable work to do.
Yeah.
Which is a lot like the community facilitation.
It's exactly the same thing. I mean, man, I'm almost detecting a way to segue into another topic that we had slated for a future episode about this whole idea of the interrelatedness of all the different stuff that we do, you know, where on the surface to some of my relatives, it seems like I'm a jack of all trades because I'm a cartoonist, but then I'm an advocate and I'm a teacher. And then they'll say something like, stick to your knitting, boy, do your comics and forget about the other stuff because that's just distracting you. I'm like, but they all use the same muscles. I'm using the same muscles when I do any of those things. And if I'm creatively rewarded by all things, back off, dude. Don't tell me to stick to anything. You know, you seen Pink Floyd, The Wall, right? you do remember that, who was it? A Twisted Sister video. We're not going to take it. Or I Want to Rock. That was the one, wasn't it? Where he strums the guitar and blasts his dad out the window.
Oh, Snyder. That's fun. I want to rock. That's awesome. Yeah, let's do it. Now I want to jam. No, yeah. You're right. It's there's that. Well, speaking of multiple interests, I've been characterized as such. In fact, yesterday by you.
Oh, I did. I did, didn't I?
Perform.
But I was saying that you were like a deep, deep well of knowledge in a lot of different fields.
I was very kind or whatever. I don't mean to say, I guess you did the kind version of what you described the relatives doing. Obviously seeing, well, whatever.
I said, hello, everybody. This is Rob Stenziger. He's a dilettante. He is utterly capricious in his interests and has no stick-to-itiveness.
Totally. What'd you say? I was playing a video game. What?
Look, a bird.
Cool. Did I tell you I picked up sculpting in the last couple minutes?
Wow.
No. It does seem that way to people sometimes. And even people who are like kindly curious will ask like, well, wait a minute. What? You make the video game and comic, but you do the UI consulting thing or whatever. And they're just like kind inquiring, but going like, how in the heck does this fit together? And then especially if they're, you know, finding out like, well, sure. And I do this podcast with Jersey, whatever. It doesn't make sense. But really, and you know what? People could call me out saying like, this is sort of a mental integration or sort of emotional response to integrating disparate things where I have to make all my world has to make sense. So therefore, here's my baloney excuse. Yeah. Fair enough, whatever. Yeah. I don't think so, but they really do fit together. I think the more creative things you try out, you'll see that they, let's see, totally jump in topics, but I think it relates. Someone I know has a kid going through their teens and is having some challenges, but is a very talented artist. And is very curious about learning more about art. And of course, being a kid of one of, you know, friend of a friend kind of thing, my name got brought up. And so I was talking with the parents and whatnot. And honestly, like, yeah, every single creative pursuit is like this infinite gateway drug to other creative pursuits, mm-hmm. but in a really good way, because you know what? Okay, fine. So this kid isn't going to be delving deeply into business math right away during school, or may not be like an awesome, I don't know, computer programmer or physicist or whatever. Anything, but like if they excel at the one topic and they're really learning how to put their heart into it and how to get better at it, you win, because now they can do it with other things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If those connections are made explicit to them, all the more, right?
Yep. It may be a mystery at first, but then they'll at least feel what it's like, especially if you're in high school or whatever. It's kind of neat to be identified for something, right? To fit somewhere.
Yeah.
So great. Well,
that's what that time in your life is all about, is finding out what's the thing that makes you special. What's your uniqueness, right?
Yep.
That's why you try out all the different costumes when you dress like Eddie Vedder one day and then you dress like David Bowie the next day, you know?
I should have done that. Yeah. I spent all my money on Iron Maiden shirts and a leather jacket. So,
oh, I spent my money on fluorescent yellow shirts and purple pants.
That's cool. Like I think we'd have been buds. I mean,
you think so? I looked like, yeah, a lot of the guys who like were fans of Living Color. Was that the band? Cult of Personality?
Oh, sure. Yep. Vernon Reed, their guitarist.
And Faith No More. People who were into those bands thought I was cool. And then they'd say, oh man, do you like Faith No More? I'm like, what's that?
Oh my God, dude. Faith No More is actually one of the concerts I saw that was my favorite concert experience ever. Wow. I saw Faith No More, Soundgarden, and Voivod at First Avenue in the 90s, or no, late 80s, early 90s. No, must have been 90, 91. Anyway, whatever.
Well, I'll back up and qualify by saying, like, since then, I now know who Faith No More is, and I do find their music very charming and lovely in its way.
No, I'm not saying, oh, you better not, you know, watch where you're stepping, pal. I'm just excited at...
Well, I'm just saying I looked like that kind of kid, even though it was mostly me just going like, I like purple, and I'm wearing them on my body, and here's my Spider-Man shirt.
Yeah, there you go. Eclectic, creative...
Yeah. I just decided that if I like this color, then why not wear it? But anyway, so I just happened to happily correspond with a time when wearing fluorescent colors was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, how do we get on that?
So we're talking about the...
Oh.
Let's see.
I have the segue to get back to the topic.
All those different...
Why are we bringing this up?
They seem disparate. They're not really that disparate.
They're not. And that's why I think it is a little bit, and I'm going to say that I am totally guilty of this. But I think that this is one of the sins that we can encounter when we're doing pursuing a creative life where we're trying to find an audience for the thing that we're making, is to think that these things are disparate, and that to think that there's different disciplines involved in forming a community, gathering an audience, getting people excited about your stuff. You hear this time and time again. I just want to create. I just want to lock myself in the room, and I don't want to have to talk to the world. I'm a creator. I'm not a socialite. I'm not a person who goes to parties. Well, you know, then go find a publisher. But I want to publish online. Well, then get in the party, you know, because that's the way it works. That's the way it's been proven again and again and again. And then even if you go to a publisher, you still got to do that socializing stuff, because you got to go schmooze. You got to go to parties. You have to go to publishing meetings. You have to go to, you know, if you get a book deal, good for you. Now you got to go on a tour, you know. Ask Rena Telgemeier what that's like. She's experiencing all this great success right now with Smile, but now she's got to do this big book tour all around the nation, meeting and shaking hands with thousands of people. She's got a great deal with Scholastic. She's won the Eisner Award. She's on the New York Times bestseller list. She does not get to lock herself in that room and not come out. You have to go out and engage. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it is sort of a piecing it all together. Not that every one of us, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, Rain has had super awesome success, and that it rocks. Like what's funny is I own Smile. I haven't finished it yet. I have this big pile of comics I need to finish, but like, I mean, seriously, opening it up, my first impression was, holy crap, this is a masterwork.
Yeah.
Flat out. I'm like, I'm observing a modern master, period. Like that, chill up my spine, get, all that
yeah,
crap.
Me
I was
too.
Like, yikes.
Yeah, that I get chills every time I think about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. However, let's see. So we all have to deal with our own form of that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, she's at the, yeah, dealing with the hope, the success that we all will work for and the.
To whatever level, right?
An extreme, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to form any kind of value judgments or like different kind of arc. What am I trying to say?
Like a hierarchy there.
Hierarchical, yeah. Kind of like statement on this. I'm just saying that even in the situation where the traditional publishing route, where quote unquote, the publisher got involved and says, don't worry, we'll handle all the marketing and all the promotion for you. You just write your book and lock yourself away and we'll make sure that the author is mysterious and never has to talk to anybody. And you will be protected in this womb of your studio from all the scary things in the real world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when that's not the truth, and then, okay, if it's not the truth, then let's look at the bright side and realize that this engagement that we have to undergo is part of our natural tool set that we have as a creative person in the first place.
It's incredibly handy. Obviously, it's handy if you're going to get into various teaching or event facilitation or
just starting
helping grow your own community.
Yeah.
What are those interactions going to look like? Right. Because it's not just putting your thing out there; it's communicating about it.
And actually, yeah, this is where I'll throw in as. Sort of like a way to think about it is a cheat is when you're starting a community, you're just saying, this is for comics. You're not saying this is for me. You know, it is for you in a way.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you're waving a banner. That's sort of
the collective banner
means I'm operating in a way that's, I'm not just an agent for myself here. I'm an agent for this idea.
Yep. Let's hear it for comics, right? And so then that way I have something to deflect any criticism of being a crass promoter, a Stan Lee. Although, you know, Stan Lee, as much as we make fun of him, we all admire him for what he was able to achieve by being such a huckster, you know? But anyway, you know, so that is like one of the positive aspects of like if you want to start a scene in your area, you're planting a flag that says comics on it and it doesn't have your name on it. It's just like, hey, everybody, let's gather on this thing. It's really cool. And then, yeah, your job is important because you have to go and interact with all these people and make sure that they all feel like you care that they came and all that other socializing stuff. Okay, now you've mastered the skill set of, and this is what I got to do on my sites is, and I try, you know, with like responding to comments, responding to emails. I'm not as good as that as I am at responding to Twitter posts. Facebook posts, Google Plus posts, like responding to people that way. You know, then obviously through things like the Comics Are Great show too, where that's my socializing with other creators. But yeah, now I got to take it to the next level with my comics. When I start publishing my comics is keep an eye on that kind of that level. If I'm going to leave comments on, if I want comments to be there for people to respond to the thing, then I have to respond in kind.
Yeah, it's interesting because, gosh, what was the, going to go ahead and pull a mention of Back to Work again. And this is like a meta one because it goes from Back to Work to mentioning what John Siracusa on his podcast. And
the,
how
the 5x5 shows have turned into all of them referring to each other's shows. It just goes in a loop.
Exactly. And what's funny is, and I'm doing a bad job as far as, trying to trace it to the beginning, but one of the... one of the main personalities there, he actually does not allow, Daring Fireball.
John Gruber.
John Gruber. There you go. He does not have comments on his site.
Yep.
And it's part of his creative dialogue to not do that. But one would argue that, I mean, there's not one way to do creative dialogue and getting the word out there. I mean, because of course he is podcasting. He does, sort of write and react publicly to things to an extent.
Mm-hmm. He picks his battles.
He picks his battles, and there isn't just one way to do it. So comments.
No, we should emphasize that too, because when you load a CMS on your server, it comes automatically installed with a commenting engine of some sort, and it's turned on automatically. So, and then there's all these wonderful plugins for WordPress and all these other sites where it's like, do you want to use Discuss? What is it? QUS or something like that?
Yeah.
Another Web 2.0 name. But there's all these different, like, different commenting. You want to use Facebook as your commenting engine, right? And this will get engagement, interactivity on your site. Well, that doesn't have to be the way that you play, right? You can have other ways of engaging with people where maybe you have a blog and you
old school comics. They had a letters column.
Letters column, yeah. Or you do a blog where you're responding to emails that you get. You know, you have a check the box. Can I use your email on my blog to respond to it? And that's the way you can have a much more controlled experience. Absolutely. And that is something we should kind of emphasize, is that this all can happen on your terms. You know, like, you can create the kind of events, like, for instance, Make the Comics, the drink and draw that I started up. And this one I did start up in Ann Arbor at a coffee shop at 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Some people asked, why 5 to 8 p.m.? Why at a coffee shop? Isn't a drink and draw typically at a bar? And I said, yeah, but I want kids to come. I want kids to be able to come and avail themselves of the professional cartoonists who are here. How awesome would it be when we were 10 to be able to go a public event where professional cartoonists and writers were all hanging out, and we could walk up and ask them questions, and we could work alongside, draw next to the guy? That's important to me. And so that was the term that I laid out. Okay, here's public event. I'm planting the comics flag in the ground. But this is the way I want it to go, because these key things are really important to me, and I won't feel comfortable otherwise. I could go to the bar one. I could have fun at the bar. Guess what? I like to drink alcohol every once in a while. I'm a grown man, believe it or not. But you know, that's a different kind of event. It has a completely different feel, and it's not the one that I'm going to facilitate, right? And so, too, you have to think about what is the conversation you want to facilitate in your house, so to speak.
Yep. That's a good way to look at it, I think.
But there is a lot of pressure on us to, like, engage everywhere, isn't there? You know,
there is. And it's whatever.
I was listening to...
We can choose how we react to it. And yeah.
Well, I was listening to mention another podcast, because that's all we'll do from now on, is be a hub to pointing at This Week in Podcasts. I was listening to the This Week in Google show, which... 9 times out of 10, I really enjoy. Every once in a while, they go into areas where I'm like, what the heck? This doesn't have anything to do with anything. But as I'm sure we do, too. they were talking about the whole... There was an article posted recently, and I'll need to look it up. It was like, why Google Plus is destroying the internet, or how it will ruin the internet.
Oh. Write
this down. Did you read this?
No, I didn't. Is it about how it subsumes content?
How it subsumes content, and how they're using it, how G+ posts actually appear as web pages. And so a Google+ post about the article will appear in your search stream before the article itself. And a guy who writes for a popular site, I forget which one, and again, I'll look it up and I'll post it in the show notes. He wrote how this is going to destroy things for content creators, because now... SEO is social based instead of information based. Instead of, like, which site got the most clicks, which site is the most definitive. Now it's like, who talked about it the most, or who made the post that got the most comments about it, right?
That's been the case, though. I mean, there is a link aspect to searchability, findability stuff, where if you can link to things through many mechanisms, Google Plus is just another mechanism, and whatever Google is doing what we're talking about. They're trying to grow their own community.
Yeah.
So guess what? They prefer themselves. I'm not surprised.
Do no evil, Rob. Do no evil. Shut up.
And is that necessarily evil? It's definitely using their power, but I don't know.
Well, do no evil.
It depends on your priority. And currently, how the internet, a lot of it's funded through ad revenue, and for that model, which it's kind of ironic, I think Google has incentive to not break that, come to think of it, because that's how they make their money, is ads.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they try to destroy how rank works overall? I could see sometimes, I mean, if everyone who reblogs their experience of running into the article because they ran into it on Google+, that might become higher ranked, but... I suppose it depends on when where people are doing that. And I don't know for sure. I'm just theorizing.
Right. You're speculating on a paraphrasing of an article. So
yeah, totally. But I could see that they actually have, based on the premise, based on your paraphrasing, I could see Google having disincentive to do that. So,
but either way, it's in the zeitgeist right now that it's more important than ever to share. Now, instead of using proper meta tags and using good SEO blogging strategies where I put the word comics every sixth word in my blog post, so then if anybody searches for comics, they're going to get my stuff, you know, that kind of SEO guru evil stuff that gets passed around.
Yeah, I'm getting itchy.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
No,
it's like speaking the language of Mordor when you're in Hobbiton, you know. Don't do that. Suddenly the sky gets a little darker. Oh, I feel weird.
Yeah. It's a little creepy. I mean, there's legitimate reasons to do some of that. And some, not everyone who does that is trying to break the system, but there's a lot of them that do. And engineer it for people.
But so where I was going with this all is that there's like a heightened pressure to share. But yep. I would throw in parentheses at the end, but on your terms. You know, I've dipped my feet in a lot of different pools over the years, trying to figure out where do I feel most at home. And then there were times where I feel like, oh God, I did a new thing today. I got to post to 12 sites now. I got to post to DeviantArt. Yeah. I got to post to Tumblr, to Postgres, to my Blogger, to Google Plus, to Twitter, Facebook, my Facebook page. Now we're up to 8 now. What else? What else am I missing? But anyway, so yeah, it's like, oh God, that's a lot of load to take on. All right. Well, you know what? I decided that some of them got to drop off, right? I don't engage on DeviantArt properly. I don't talk with the natives there. I don't swim with them right. So let's just post every once in a while and not make a big deal out of it, right? That's not going to be my primary sources of interaction with people. But Tumblr, I like. I'm going to hang out in Tumblr quite a bit. I'm going to engage with people there. Google Plus, I like. So, you know, your terms. You get to do that. You don't have to do it everywhere.
There's an interesting puzzle, too, because some of it, you may have an idea of, I guess I already know maybe DeviantArt isn't my style or what have you. Yeah. Or, Postgres, nah, I don't really care. But you may already have some filter or whatever, but some of it you may not know until you jump in and try it.
Absolutely.
And obviously, just, you know, fine-tuning it. But, yeah, what kind of venue and event and crowd are you trying to host?
Here's another thing that a friend of mine said recently that I thought was really, it was almost like stand-up comedy, astute observation. He's talking about going to clubs, and he said, isn't it awful that the place where we feel the most safe to meet strangers and get to know strangers is in a place where we can't hear anybody talking? You know, because it's always, you know, with that kind of music and then dun, 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 and probably that's not what it's like at all. It's because I haven't been in a club in like probably 12 years. So who knows what it's like now. But when I watch it on the TV, you know, like when I watch The Hills, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's like, yeah, that's totally not where I would want to go to actually meet people, you know. But, you know, I'll tell you where I do feel comfortable meeting people is like when I go to like educational events, like when I go to like things like the Download in Chelsea, which was like a big like information sharing gathering, right? And that was a place to do some socializing as well as information sharing, right? And then it was quieter. Sweet. It was more intimate, and it was, you know, I felt more at ease there. But then again, there's people who go to the club and think, this is awesome. This is the greatest thing ever. You know, I go to bowling alleys and I just feel so at ease there. You know, well, and I'm not joking around. I'm not making judgments here. I'm just saying, like, there's different venues, like you said. And
exactly. That good point. Yeah. Try to find the one or build the one that where you can do the kind of interacting you want to do.
I did not expect to do all that talking about community building.
I didn't either, but it was fun. It was fun to chew on that. Because this is, so do you want to go into mentioning a couple of things and wrapping up?
Sure. Yeah, we can start closing things down. What do we got that's worth mentioning?
So Krishna Sadasivam of PCWeenies.com, he he instigated this really wild thing called his mentorship project.
The mentorship experiment. He posted on PCWeenies.com on January 8th. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yep.
So, yeah. How cool is this? I mean, okay. He basically put out a call where people could write him emails saying this is why they want to be an apprentice to him for free. And he selected from all the letters, selected two participants. And for the next couple months, he's going to be mentoring them, but not in the kind of didactic, I'm going to sculpt you into a little me kind of thing, but more like sharing, making himself available to them to share expertise.
Right? Yeah. Although, I mean, you know, little Krishnas, that wouldn't be bad. But
if he sculpts them in the way of sculpting them in his philosophies and his mode of engaging with people, that would be a good thing.
It's what's cool. I mean, the creative projects. I mean, there's going to be this idea exchange, and it just sounds like a lot of fun. And and he's a really great person to be doing this. I'm really excited to see how it progresses. And which, of course, did we mention he is actually he was an instructor at during 30 classes in 30 days, and his classes are available actually at Lean Into Art as well. So maybe there's some enlightened self-interest for us to mention Krishna during this link to him. But at the same time, it's also like we're proud to be associating with this kind of person, right?
That's
awesome.
I guess we do have to do the full disclosure. Yes, we do have his workshop series, Creating Crazy Characters, in the workshop section of the Lean Into Art site, leanintoart.com/workshops. And it's worth every penny. It's an amazing workshop series. But I mostly bring this up because I think this is what all cartoonists who have achieved anything need to be doing, is that I think apprenticeships, this is something I've been saying for years, is that I think apprenticeships are the future of education for fields like cartooning. Heck, I think this would apply to UI design, UX design.
I do too. Yeah, programming and whatnot. I really do. It's really funny because I'd been considering this kind of thing before, but it was such a puzzle because I don't believe in like the unpaid internship, but then making it be this separate activity that you're just choosing to share that experience in those different roles. Mm-hmm. I think he really like what he's doing for his mentorship experiment is really worth replicating for others interested in doing the same thing. Where it just became a puzzle for me, and I just was like, okay, I'm filing that in my notes, whatever. I think Krishna nailed it.
Well, and Krishna's going to be documenting it on his blog. So we're going to benefit from that experience, getting his reflections on this pilot program. But then the next thing I want to do after that is I want to talk Krishna into doing some kind of a class for us to teach us how to do this very thing, because I think this is something that is worth replicating, but I think you need to be the right instructor to do it. You need the right training in order to do a real good mentorship, so as not to be that guy I was talking about earlier from that campus program who had emotional issues and needed to yell at people every once in a while. Not a good mentor, you know?
No.
I think it's definitely worth applauding. I think Krishna is nothing short of a hero in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally rocks. Thank you. I'm really excited to see him do this, and he deserves deserves a high five.
He does deserve a high five. Definitely a huge high five from Lean Into Art. But then also I think all other cartoonists who are doing any work that's making people happy should be looking at this going, okay, This is the big pay it forward thing, like that movie with that little kid who saw dead people. We all should do some community service of some sort like this. And I'll tell you, he's got me thinking hard about some kids that live in my area, about like opening my doors to them, letting them actually intern for me in some way to do that kind of mentoring. So good on you, Krishna.
Yeah, super awesome. We'll be following it and, I'm sure talking about it from time to time. And obviously, if you listen to this before we talk to you, we're coming after you to see if you want to do a class on it, Krishna.
Anything else that we want to point people at? Make some
say there was we put a survey out on Lean Into Art recently. We have our take on things that we bake into our workshops, but And we actually have an agenda of like new workshops that, you know, we have planned and whatnot, but we want to sculpt that. We want to see what people are excited about, what's hot on your mind kind of thing. And it's with that motivation, we have a survey that we're asking you of, you know, here's a few options. Like what sounds good to you for our next workshop?
Yeah. So it's getting a little bit of input on it. And really there's a million places we can go with all the stuff we're developing. So getting a little insight from you guys will be really, really useful in cherry picking stuff that maybe was slated for November or December of this year. We can move it up the calendar too, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can. We're happy to do it. This is we're doing the workshops as a service to this community, which we're working on being good hosts of and all that, like we talked about in this episode.
Yes, we want to talk with you. We want to thank you for downloading and showing up and hanging out with us for a little while, letting us into your head for a little while. There are a lot of podcasts on the internet. There's a lot of things to listen to. You could be listening to the Beatles right now. You could be listening to, audio rips that you did of old Sesame Street episodes. You could be listening. You could be listening to crazy talk radio, AM station talking about how the government has metal that turns invisible and can fold up like a piece of paper and fit in your pocket. You know, you could be listening to any countless things, but you chose to listen to us talk about stuff. That is pretty awesome. That is a privilege.
It really is. And I know we thank you very much for checking out our podcast and listening to it. And if you subscribe, I thank you also for doing that.
We got some new reviews on iTunes too. I don't know if you saw them.
Oh no, I did. I missed the new ones.
We got some. There's a new review and some more star reviews, which was pretty nice to read. And then also, you know, we've been getting some emails lately, which is very, very, very kind. Super kind. We won't call anybody out in particular because we need to update the contact form to say, like, can we mention you on the show or something like that? Because I don't want... Are you capturing that, Rob?
Yes, I'm capturing that as a to-do. I'll fix the form to make sure we know if it's okay to mention that or not.
Yeah.
And then I suppose there's two levels to it. If we can mention it, and can we mention your name?
Yeah, there we go.
So there you go.
But yeah, it means the world to us to get that kind of response, because that says that A, you care about what we're saying, and B, you care enough to spend an amount of time formulating thoughts and putting them into words and then pressing a send button. I know it's easy to send an email compared to writing a letter, but it's still not easy to contact somebody that you don't know to say nice things to them, right? That's crossing a threshold.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of... I know there's different creators that some I've made time to do that, and others are still, they're on my list. I'd love to reach out and say thank you for doing what you do. But thank you for being for doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you for thanking us. Yeah, sounds silly to say in a way, but seriously.
But it's true. I mean, right? I mean, it's like when you go to meet a creator at a convention or something, and it's like... You and I have had this experience probably many times. Like, they're so awesome. What do I say? I don't want to say something stupid. And then you wind up saying, like, I'm a fan of everything you do, and you walk away. And it's like, oh, crap, that sucked. That was a terrible thing that I said. No, it wasn't. You still said a nice thing. You know, it's not like you walked up and said, hamburgers.
Exactly. And good for you for putting yourself out there, yeah, right?
Right.
Maybe that's the theme of the episode, is putting yourself out there.
Putting yourself out there. Writing it down. There's our title. Okay. Well, I feel exercised. Do you?
I do. Good. I feel great. Pulse rate's up.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with another episode of the Lean Into Artcast, and the next one will be a video episode.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a Lean Into Art forum member and you get free forum access by signing up for any Lean Into Art class, whether it's a past class or, you know, a live class, we'll be announcing when we're doing that that video show, so you can show up and participate and have some fun with us. We'll start doing the shows live.
Absolutely. We're working on getting the schedule ahead. So far, we've done the video since we've announced that, but we realized that we couldn't just really expect people to show up last second. to just say, guess what? We're doing it right now.
Yeah, everybody just watch our Twitter stream constantly and don't exactly. take your eyes off it because we might announce it now.
You never know.
It's like was that one crazy summer or Better Off Dead where the guy's like in the tub or like he has the radio with him at all times because they're going to announce the winner of some $1 million contest. And you got to call in right when they say to call in. And like he's like in the tub listening to the radio. He's like he's you know in the bathroom listening to the radio. He's like, you know, any place he is, that radio is with him. So he doesn't miss the time to call. You know? We'll do that to people. That'd be brutal.
Right. That'd be one way. If you maybe we want a community who loves pain. That'd be one way to lean into pain.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We'll turn into the guy from the Bad Dojo and Karate Kid.
No
mercy.
Nope. It's all Miyagi time here.
Yeah. I've seen Rob chop bottles in half.
No. Carl Reese. I think that was the character's name.
Who? Oh, the bad guy?
Kyle Reese? I don't know. I think it was Reese. Was the evil teacher's name in the original Karate Kid.
Right. Oh, the original. Yeah, that guy was awesome.
Yeah.
He was so much like the ex-soldier who got turned on to martial arts. Just like watching other people hurt people. Not that soldiers like to hurt people, but you know, I'm talking about a stereotype.
No, he was sadistic. Yeah. And he had he had problems.
Yeah, he did.
He liked inflicting those problems on other people. Which isn't a really nice way to really grow a community. But then again, that was a lot like your original comic community, right? Yeah. The college one.
Yeah, that one was bad. That guy
I keep tying it back to the topic.
He likes to inflict pain.
I have to reach hard. But.
All right. Well, I think that's a signal that it's time for us to gracefully walk out the door. So, thanks again, everybody, for listening and downloading. Until next time, I have been Jersey Drost of comicsaregreat.com and Jersey on Twitter.
Yes, thank you. And I have been Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com and Rob Stenzinger on Twitter.
Okay, bye.
Show notes for this episode can be found at leanintoart.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at the user leanintoart. And you can reach us via email at leanintoart@gmail.com. And remember, leaners aren't wieners. Thanks for listening.